Last Monday afternoon, Monday morning, I caught a plane for Seattle, Washington, and then had just a brief layover in Seattle and got on the same plane and flew to Anchorage, Alaska. I got to Anchorage about, by the way, Anchorage, Alaska has had no sub-zero weather all year. Our winter here has been much colder than Anchorage, Alaska. And I got to the hotel about 5 o'clock their time, which is 8 o'clock our time. And so I checked in the hotel and went, got my took my suitcase and my briefcase and went over to the elevator. The elevator was not yet open. It had not yet opened, and I waited there for a while. Only two of us waiting for an elevator. Young lady looked like she might be 25 years of age, and I. So as we two young people were standing there together waiting for the elevator, it came and it opened, and she walked in, and I took the time, of course, reached down, get my bags, and walk in. And just, I pushed the button for my floor, and just as it did, everything went out. All the light. Lights, elevator lights, everything. Now, the door had not shut yet, and the elevator, but everything, all the lights went out in the auditorium. When that, all the lights went out in the elevator, that young lady broke the world record of getting out of elevators. She obviously was afraid that she's going to be stuck in that elevator with a man. And so I got out, and it was dark all over. I mean, everything. And there's no darkness like darkness that just begun. I mean, when light becomes darkness, and that's what it means here. When light becomes darkness, there's no darkness like that. And she was scared to death. And as we got out, there was a little more light outside in the lobby because there's a door. But it was already dark there anyway. But you could see a little bit. And so I just simply said to her, I said, "Ma'am, don't be afraid. If there were light in here and you could get a good look at me, you wouldn't be scared at all." And the whole folks, and Dr. Aljani was up on the 20th floor, and they thought maybe there's a fire, you know. And so they went to the stairs, the fire escape stairs, inside the building, fire escape, but the emergency lights didn't work either. And you couldn't see to walk down the stairs. And, of course, they were wondering if they were up there with a fire that had turned electricity off. And I wasn't afraid. Only Al Janney and the girl that's standing there beside me were afraid. And she had no reason to be afraid because of my longevity and senility. But the whole hotel, I mean, folks started hollering, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? Folks were screaming and so forth, and we were there in darkness, and I guess we were there in darkness for about 30 minutes before the light, maybe 20, 30, before the lights came back on. Now, folks, there's no darkness in the world like darkness that suddenly comes on you. When the lights suddenly go out and you can't see your hand in front of you, there's no darkness like that in the world. I was going home to church on a Sunday night several months ago, and after the Sunday night service, I was driving home. It was late, and everything was fine, but I came to a certain part in Munster where all the lights were out, several blocks there. And as I drove across the Borman Expressway there and then across that river, they call it Little Calumet River, and I think a giant spit there one time, and that's what it was. But anyway, we went across that river, Little Calumet River. Then all of a sudden, everything was dark. And there's no darkness much like that. When you go from light to darkness, it's shocking. And everything was spooky and dark. It was darker than dark. It was dark, dark. Because light had become darkness. Now, these two illustrations explain what the Scripture means tonight when it says, "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." Now, what is God saying? Now, follow me carefully as I tell you what He's saying. First thing God is saying is there is no darkness like one that has just known light. You mark it down that a person who is in light, and I'm talking about spiritual light, I'm talking about just like the lights went out of there. If those lights had been off for a couple of hours, or if they never turned the lights on when the darkness was settling outside, we could have felt our way around. Now, that kind of darkness is terrible, but not near as bad as darkness that comes from a light that was just on. I think I've told you this. I was in a motel, and been a couple of years ago now. I stayed in four different motels or hotels on four consecutive nights. I mean, one night, four straight nights, different hotel. Well, middle of the night, I was going to go to the washroom, night number four. And I always try to figure out where everything is so I can feel my way in the darkness. And so I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I said to myself, which night is this? Where am I? Well, I misguessed. I said this is, I thought I was in the room where I was the third night. But it was, you following me? I'm not. But it was the fourth night. Well, now, on the fourth night, third night, I got out of bed and turned to the right to go to the restroom. But on the fourth night, you turned to the left. Well, thinking it was the third night, and by the way, I don't open my eyes in cases like that because I want to be sure not wake up. But I can go back to sleep better if I don't open my eyes. And you say, "Won't you open your eyes?" Well, stupid, why open? It's dark anyhow. You can't see anything. So keep them closed. We're using, expending that energy. And so I got up and I said, "Now, what night is it?" And I guessed wrong. So I went to the end of the bed, and the night before I had to turn right to go to the washroom. But now then, this is the fourth night, but I thought it was the third night. So I turned right. Now, at the end, at the bottom of the bed, there was a little chest-like thing. Maybe like sort of a tabletop thing. You know, it has some time about the bed. Well, I turned right, and I cleared the bed okay, but I didn't clear the chest thing. And bear in mind, my eyes were shut, and it was dark anyway, and so I stumbled over that little thing. When I did, I grabbed for something, and all I could get was the cover. And the cover is not very stationary, and the foundation of the cover had not been poured well, and so I grabbed for the cover. And when I grabbed for the cover, of course, it came with me, and then I fell, and the cover fell. Now, I rolled over a couple times and rolled in the cover. And there I was on a hotel room floor, didn't know where I was, didn't know which way to the restroom. And I was dark three times. First, it was already dark. Second, my eyes were shut. And third, my head was covered with the cover. Folks, you think Paul had it rough on his missionary journeys. You ought to just go through what I go through sometime. But anyway, I was fighting myself, trying to figure. But now, listen, folks, that's dark. Now, when you have turned out a light, it's even darker than that. All of a sudden, the light go. If the lights went out right now in this room, and I almost did it tonight just to illustrate, but it takes these mercury vapor lights a while to come back on. I thought it might hurt the service some. But there's no darkness like that. Now, there is when a person goes from bright light into immediate darkness, he usually stumbles. Well, he stumbles easier than if he was in darkness all the time. And it's so easy to go all the way to the bottom in the Christian life. When a person goes from light, I'm talking about serving God, all of a sudden to not serving God, and suddenly the light becomes darkness, then you've noticed it again and again. Some person decides to not come to church, or a person decides to go into sin a little bit, and the darkness is so dark, when the light becomes darkness, that person goes all the way to the bottom. I mean, just the whole life is wrecked. I can take case after case after case after case. Why? Because if darkness, the Bible says, if your light be darkness, how great that darkness. And that's what the Bible is saying. There's no darkness like one that's known light. And the man in darkness who's never knows light walks in darkness, but the man in darkness who has known light walks in worse darkness. The man who has never known God is lonely, but the man who's known God and then leaves the will of God is more lonely. The man who has never worked in church is in darkness, but the man who has worked in church and then stops working in church is in greater darkness, and by the way, in greater danger of doing more bad things and falling than the fellow who never has been faithful in church. The man who has lived in this book is in darkness. Has not lived in this book is in darkness. But the man who has lived in this book and then quits living in this book is in worse darkness. The man who never tithed is in darkness, and he's a robber of God. But the man who has tithed and quits tithing is in more darkness. That's what God is saying here. God is saying darkness is dark, but there is no darkness, not like light that becomes darkness. When that which is light becomes dark, and when the light goes off, suddenly, God is simply saying, that's when you got to watch it the most. I was thinking today, I've all day long, I mean this, my mind has come and gone about those little people. I sort of said little bus kids, but bus people, who this morning by the hundreds were waiting for their bus ride to church and could not get on one of our buses. You see, recently we lease all of our buses, and recently the price of the lease just went sky high. Because of that, we can't use the same amount of money we've always used, but we don't have enough money to lease as many buses. And that means this morning over 500 people got ready for church who couldn't come to church because we had no transportation for them. Last Sunday morning, over 500 people, the same thing. And one morning, Sunday morning recently, over 1,900 people, just as important to God as you are, for whom Jesus died as much as He died for you, the object of God's love as much as you're the object of God's love. I want to say this again. Let me just drive this nail in again. God is not any more impressed with you that have big jobs than God is the little ragamuffin bus kids. He's not at all. And, God is no respecter of persons, and it's just as tragic for a bus kid or a poor man or woman who wants to ride a bus. And by the way, here's what I'm thinking. We wouldn't have had those 500 people who wanted to ride buses to Sunday school and got turned down this morning and had to go back and couldn't come to church in Sunday school. We wouldn't have had them Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. One thing would stop all of it if every person in this room tonight gave to this church 10% of all of your income, we could bring every one of them to Sunday school next Sunday morning. So go and look in the mirror and see who's guilty. You God robbers are. You crooks are. You say, you can't call me a crook. Oh, I just did. And a long time before I called you a crook, God called you a crook. And I've got more respect, and so has God, for folks that go over here and take a gun and put it in the face of one of the tellers at the Hoosier Bank tomorrow and rob the Hoosier Bank, then I have a person who will drink God's water, enjoy God's sunshine, breathe God's air, eat God's food, and rob God of that which is rightly His. Some of you college students, you get money from home. You never tithe on it. That tenth of that belongs to God. Tenth of it belongs to God. It's not just your salary. The Bible says of your increase. Of your increase. Recall I said this one time, and somebody's little, I think it's a cat, had kittens, and they brought one to my house and said, this is the tithe. Bible doesn't say that. It said, bring it to God's house. But in the Hebrew, it says, only that which can be eaten. But I'm saying that doesn't solve it all. Look, if
If every person in this room tonight were honest, I said honest, I said honest, I said honest, I said honest. If every person in this room tonight were honest, not one single child or bus rider would have to be missed next Sunday morning. Now, I say this, a person that never has tithed is in darkness. But a person that has tithed and quits tithing is in greater darkness. So what God is saying is this. God is saying that those of us who walked in the light, who went soul winning, who read our Bibles, who spent time on our knees in our prayer closet, who came to church faithfully, who lived decent, clean lives, and yet all of a sudden we stop any part of service for God, I'll guarantee you we are in more danger of going all the way to the bottom than a person that never has been in light at all. That's what God is saying here. God is saying, if light become darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, you better watch it. I say, if you've been in this book, you stay in this book. The darkness is mighty dark when you get out of it. If you've been on your knees, you stay on your knees. The darkness is mighty dark when you get out of it. If you've been a soul winner, you stay a soul winner. The darkness is mighty dark when you get out of it. If you've had a bus route, you keep that bus route. The darkness is mighty dark when you get out of it. And I'm talking to folks tonight. See, you just think you can stop something lightly, but what you're doing, you're going from light to darkness suddenly, just like that, and you're not going to stop with just not praying. There'll be something else, because you're going to stumble. You are in darkness, and in darkness you cannot see which way to go. And before you know it, your life will be wrecked, and you'll be in some deep sin, and you'll be ruined and wrecked for God. Why? Because you went from light to darkness suddenly, and your light became darkness. By the way, there's a second thing our Lord is saying here. What is God saying? God is saying, be careful. Be careful. If you go from light to darkness, suddenly it's more dangerous than staying in darkness and having never been in the light. Now, the main thing I want to say tonight deals with this. God is also saying that He is likening... Now, hear me carefully on this. God is likening every area of our lives... Okay, let me change that. God is dividing every area of our lives and lighting every one of those areas with Jesus, who is the light of the world, and the Bible, which is the light of God. Now, let me illustrate. Here's a row of street lights. By the way, the first part of my sermon illustrated with the lights that went out up in Alaska. Second illustration is about when I went out to Munster and was going from light to light. I went down Sibley Street, light to light, turned right on Seoul, light to light, turned left on Kane, light after light, turned right on Calumet, light after light, turned left on 175th, light after light, turned right on Columbia, light after light, crossed the little Calumet Bridge there and came into Munster, and suddenly, after being light, 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 suddenly darkness came, and I drove in darkness for a while and came back into light. Now, the Lord is talking about that kind of a thing. You go from light into darkness, into light, into darkness, into light, into darkness, into light, into darkness. It is more dangerous to go from light to darkness, to light to darkness, to light to darkness, than it is to drive in darkness all the time, or walk in darkness all the time. You see, each one of these lights I'm going to put up here, here's a light, and a light, another. These lights represent areas of our lives. God is dividing life into many areas. For example, there's church, there's home, there's business, there's pleasure, there's school, there's courtship, there's suffering, there are victories. God is taking life. Now, follow me carefully. God is taking life and is dividing our life into many areas. And God is saying every area of your life needs to have the light of God shining upon that area. Let me illustrate what I mean. Here's a person, goes to church, walks in the light. He goes home, he walks in the light. He goes out in pleasure and does and lets God's light shine upon his pleasure and does that which pleases God. He suffers and he realizes that God sent the suffering and sees God in it. He wins a victory and gives God the glory. He goes to school, maybe, and at school the light of God shines on him. Maybe he's not married and in his courtship the light shines on him. Or if he's married, his at home the light is on and Christ is shining on every area. But he goes to work. He's in business. He doesn't pray at work. He listens to things he shouldn't hear at work. And at work, he lives in darkness. So what does he do? He goes home to light, work to darkness, back home to light, school to light, work to darkness, pleasure to light, work to darkness, and he goes in and out of the darkness. Now, God is simply saying here that He wants to light every area of your life. You see, God is saying, I want to go work with you. I want to go to school with you. I want to go on your dates with you. I want to go home with you. He's saying, let me into every area of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, not only is it difficult for a person to find his way, him and out, when he goes from immediate From light to immediate darkness. But a person also has a difficulty finding his way when he goes from darkness to immediate light. Wake up in the morning. If you get up the time I do, I get up 5:45. Wake up in the morning and turn the light on. Look at yourself. You can't. And God made it that way because that's a blessing. But I'm saying you can't do it. And what do you do? Like that. And it takes a hard time to focus. And that's why a lot of you folks never do get mount anything for God, because the light comes on and that blinds you and you can't see very well. And then the light goes off in darkness, and then that makes the darkness worse and you can't see very well. And you go into another area of your life and you let Jesus in that, and the light of the world shines on that, and the glare is where you can't. And about the time you get adjusted, you go to work and you live like the devil at work, and you go to the parties at work and drink your liquor at work, and go to parties where they drink the liquor at work, and you cheat at work, and you don't live for God at work, and you don't carry your Bible to work, and you don't say grace at work, and you go into darkness. Then you come home to light, and the light glares, and that's hard on your eyes. Then you go back to work, and the darkness is darker because you've been in light. You understand what I'm saying? I'm simply saying what God is saying here. He's saying He wants to light every area of your life. Some have a darkened business. Some have a darkened courtship. I'm talking to young folks tonight. You go to college, maybe. And boy, you go to college and the light is shining. Christ is in it. You come to church and Christ is in it. You go to work and you may even witness at work. Carry a Bible. By the way, I just sort of think a Christian ought to have a Bible within reading distance anywhere he is. I sort of think young folks ought to take their Bibles to school. I think that Hammond Baptist High School young folks ought to take their Bibles to school. Listen, Buster, if I took my Bible to school when I went to a heathen public school, the least you can do is take yours to a Christian school. I haven't got any confidence in your Christianity. You don't love this book. So what happens? To school, and the light is shining. You live for Christ. You go to work, maybe, and you testify at work and take your Bible with you, as everybody ought to. But now it's time to have a date. And all of a sudden, you go into darkness. See, you and your girlfriend don't talk about the things of God. You and your boyfriend don't pray together. That sort of be a little bit awkward for you to pray together. So what happens? You go to college, and you're in the light. Then you have a date, or you go to the dating hall there, and no talk about God. No, and I'm not saying when you have a date, you ought to, when you greet her, say, "Blessed be thou, fairest among women, and blessed be thou, lovely one. God has certainly been gracious to you and to me to give you to me and to give me to you, or to give thou to thee and to give thee to thou." I'm not talking about that. But it wouldn't be anything wrong with every once in a while saying, "Ain't God good?" I'm not suggesting you have a two-hour prayer meeting on every day, but 2 minutes wouldn't hurt. Now, what God is saying here, He's saying, look, let me in every room of the house. He's saying, if the light be darkness, how much darker is it if you go to school and it's light, and you go with your girlfriend or boyfriend and it's dark, and you go to church and it's light, and you have a date and it's dark, and you go to work and it's light, and you have a date and it's dark. There's a glare all of a sudden when you go to school, and there's darkness that's worse than a normal darkness when you go on your date. God is simply saying, let me shine on all of your life. And if you have areas in your life where the light of Christ is not shining, then that area is blinding, and you leave that area and go to an area that's dark, it is infinitely darker than it would have been if you'd never been in the light at all. Some people have a darkened home life. I mean, boy, you're a great Christian at work, but you got one of those video movie things at home, and you ought to burn every one of them you got. Dr. Rice, you say, that'll make the butter come. I mean, boy, you drive past the movie theater, you're in the light. You go home, you're in the dark. Turn the television set on, watch a movie. You get to even bring a movie channels into your own house. If that's Christianity, I'm a poodle dog and a bushy-haired preacher. Jesus is saying, I want in your school life. I want in your home life. I want in your pleasure life. I want in your work life. But I know there are folks in this room right now. I don't know who you are, but there are folks in this room right now. Tonight, the light of Christ shines upon your life. You'll go to work tomorrow, and you'll be a pretty good testimony at work, especially if somebody works there that goes to church here. Might see you. And even your pleasure in public, you wouldn't think about going to move a house, but you'll bring one to your house. And so what happens? What happens? You don't pray at home. Doesn't mean anything to you. You see, what happens is this. You said, Jesus, come into my business. Jesus, come into my school. Jesus, come into my personal life. Jesus, come into my church life. Jesus, come in, but don't come into my house. And that is a darkness that is worse than heathen darkness, because you're coming out of light into darkness. Oh, God is so smart, isn't He? Isn't it wonderful how God takes little things, illustrations from our own life and teaches them to us? God says if light becomes darkness, if a light becomes darkness, it's greater darkness. And if you go from light to darkness, it's greater darkness. I'm talking to folks tonight who need to get right with God concerning how you behave at where you work. You have folks that work for you. You don't give them the pay they ought to have. You have folks, somebody you work for, you don't give him 8 hours work. And brother, if you don't give 8 hours work for 8 hours pay, you're a crook. A man told me in the steel mills, he said, we at the steel mills feel, and by the way, it was an administrator, an executive at the steel mills. He said, if we get 4 hours work out of 8 hours on the job, we feel we've done well. Now, those fellows that are just giving 4 hours work, 8 hours on the job, are dirty crooks for the other 4 hours. Now, you listen to me. God is saying to us, I want to shine upon every area of your life. There are folks, for example, who have darkened businesses. There are folks that have darkened courtships. There are folks that have darkened home lives. There are folks that have darkened pleasure. Now, oh boy, at home, you say grace, read your Bible, maybe even with the children, read the Bible, tell them Bible stories. You go to church, teach a Sunday school class, sit in the choir, you're a deacon, or you're an usher, or you some other office in the church, and boy, the light shines on your life at church. You go to work, and you pretty well live for God, but when it comes to your pleasure, did you know you ought not to play anything that Jesus couldn't play with you? And you ought not to play anything in a way that Jesus couldn't play with you. I'm saying that if you do, you're going into light, at church, to darkness, pleasure, the light at work, darkness, pleasure, the light at school, darkness, pleasure, and you're going from the light to the darkness, and listen, you'll come nearer stumbling than the person who's in darkness all the time. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you'd be better off. I mean that. Be better off if you've never gotten the light at all. Because when the light comes back on, there's a glare. When the light goes off in another area, there's darkness that's worse than darkness had they never been in a light at all. Some people are being educated in darkness. I said again. I had rather my kids never learn to read and write or know what 2 + 2 equals than to go to the heathen public school. And yet some of you folks, because in order to keep our school open, we raised the tuition a few dollars. Because you were peeved a little bit and out of maybe, and I'm not saying everybody that took your kids out of school because the tuition went up was because of this, but some of you did it because I'm just sick and tired. And yet the same folks will gripe because the teachers don't get paid. I'll say it again. I would rather child of mine, never know 2 + 2 = 4, than to have somebody trained in these heathen pink universities, sitting in front of godless professors who believe in everything that's wrong and almost nothing that's good, and they're taught with the Bibles laughed at and not believed. I remember I haven't told this in a long time, but I think I'll tell it. I'm a little ahead of schedule tonight. I'm afraid if I don't tell this, I'll let you out before 8:30 and I'd feel bad the rest of the week. I remember one day when Dave was going to the school in Munster. He came home from school and said, "Dad, they're going to make me read a book called Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men." And I said, "Son, you can't read that." And he said, "Oh, Dad, they're going to make me." I said, "Well, you tell them." I said, "You couldn't read it." Next night he brought another one home. It was Catcher in the Rye. Catcher in the Rye makes Mice and Men look like a Sunday school literature quarterly. So I went up to the principal's office. I walked in and I said, "Just came to announce that my son cannot read Catcher in the Rye." He said, "Reverend," he said, "certainly we'll meet you and compromise and we'll have a meeting of our minds." I said, "Didn't come to have a meeting of the minds, sir. I came to make an announcement. My boy is not going to read the book." He said, "Now we'll give a little and you give a little and we can certainly have a warm handshake." And I said, "Didn't come to give a little, came to make an announcement. My boy is not going to read the book." And he said, "When your boy is at this school, he is not your boy." Ooh. The burning sensation started in my feet. And it worked its way up to my ankles and calves and thighs and hips and waist. And I'm really hot when it works all the way up to the waist. And chest and out my arms, and before I knew it, I jumped across the desk and grabbed me 2 handfuls of principal. I didn't know what I was doing. I'll be honest with you, I'd had a secret desire to do that for years. All the way through school, I wanted to do that. Some of you kids know what I'm talking about right now. And I said, "I'll have you know, not your boy because he's in school." I said, "This is not communism. It's America, not Russia." He said, "Hold it." He said, "We'll call the English committee in and have a meeting." I said, "Call them in, but my boy's not going to read the book." So he called the English committee in. Assistant basketball coach was the chairman of the English committee. Had about 12 people around a circle there and had me right in the middle. English committee chairman said, "Reverend," he said, "we're here, as you know, to consider your request." I said, "Sir, I didn't make any request. I made an announcement. My boy is not going to read the book." About the time that happened, a little female over there didn't have on a skirt, just had on a blouse. And she got up and she started wiggling and she said, "Oh, my soul, in all of my life, I've never met anybody quite like you." And I said, "Honey, where I come from, your type is mighty scarce too, thank God." Boy, you Pharisees like it when I get mean, don't you? And then the principal jumped up and took over and he said, "Reverend, for your information, There are worse words on the restroom walls in this school than you'll find in that book. And I said, yes, sir, buddy. And the first time I hear you've made the restroom walls require reading, I'm trotting back up here to see you again, too. What kind of Christianity is it that it has the light on at home, has the light on at work, and has the light on at church, and has the light on at pleasure, then goes to heathen darkness to go to school? What kind of Christianity is that? And only that, brother, it's darker. I'll guarantee you, you go to a heathen school, and I'll guarantee you the language would be worse to you than it is to folks who have been there all along. Because you're going in and out of darkness all the time. In and out. Light, darkness, light, darkness, light, darkness, light, darkness. And God is saying here, He's saying when you are in light and suddenly go to darkness, He said how dark it is. And when you go in and out of darkness, lights on, lights on, lights off, lights on, lights on, lights off. He said in and out of darkness, He said that's worse than darkness than if you've been in darkness all along. And neither the light or the darkness are normal. Let me say this now. Some people have a darkened business. Everything else is light. Some folks have a darkened courtship. Everything else is light. Some folks have a darkened home life. Everything else is light. Some folks have darkened pleasure. Everything else is light. Some people are being educated in darkness. Everything else is light. But now wait a minute. There are others that have light in every area of their lives except in the area of suffering. The lady said to me, God took my baby, and I don't understand it. Well, you let the light shine on that, and you'll understand it. Or if you don't understand it, you'll trust God that He understands, and someday you will understand. I cannot tell you why that precious young lady back there was in a coma. I can't tell you that. I don't know why. I can't tell you why that fine young couple left our church after graduating from our college to go to California to serve God full-time in a church and went by to see some loved ones by way of Arkansas and got in a wreck where I think 12 people were killed in 127 car pile-up accident. And all of a sudden, going to their first full-time job for God, all of a sudden their lives were snuffed out. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that God knows why, and I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to get the light of Christ shine not only upon my good days, but I'm going to let the light shine on my suffering too. I'm talking to folks that you're in light as long as things go well, but you go in darkness when things go bad. There's a reason. You let God shine on your life of suffering. Let God, by the way, others of you, of us, God does not shine on our victories. We trust Him in suffering. We win a victory. We win that. You know, we killed a bear, but they let him go. And so, when the victory comes, I get the credit. No, God says, I want in every area of your life. I want you to share graduation day with me. What a heathen thing it is for young people to live a good, clean life and then on graduation night, go out and wallow in the quagmire and the hog pen of sin. God said, I want your graduation night too. God said, I want to be on your honeymoon with you. God said, I want to share the victories with you. I want to be a part of your life when you win. But God said, when you lose, I want to be a part of your life then too. I want to share every area of your life. And that means you can have Jesus in your business, and you can have, like Russell Anderson did, had a big sign out in front of his business, Christ is the answer. Great big old long sign, big as half of this, whatever this is up here, this thingamajig. Had a big old sign out in the front. Christ is the answer. I like that. Oh, you say, I'm just not a show-off. How about showing Jesus off? What's wrong with that? Huh? Well, I will forget the day I went over here to the Hoosier Bank for the first time. I've only been there, I think, in that bank one time in my life, and that's when I was helping my two sons-in-law, or two of them, borrow some money to get a house. I went over there and introduced them to Mr. Walker, one of our deacons at the time. He's in heaven now. I never forget, he was vice president of this bank over here. We walked in there, and I never seen him at work. He didn't know I was coming. I just walked in, surprised him. Walked up there, and boy, sitting on, the first thing I saw right there on the corner of his desk was a Bible twice as big as that. What's he doing? He's letting the light shine at work, too.
God says, I want in all of your life. And God says, let my light shine on your victories. Let my light shine on your sorrows. Let my light shine on you. You say, Brother House, I'm not having it very good and things are not going bad, then I'm bitter at God.
It's awful dark there, folks. You're liable to stumble. When you come to church and walk in the light and then you get bitter about circumstances of life, it's awful dark there because light has become darkness. Better watch it. You'll stumble a long ways. You better let Jesus come to you and stand beside you in the funeral home. And you better let Jesus stand beside you at the grave. And you better let Jesus stand beside you at the hospital. And you better let Jesus stand beside you when your heart is broken. This morning, dear family whose son has a disease that it may be incurable. They all came, lovely family came by the office this morning and sat down around my office. They told me how sweet that Jesus had been to them. That precious lady, she said to me, she said, the Word of God has never been as sweet to us as it is now. And our dear brother said the same thing. Word of God's never been as sweet to me. And boy, you could feel the Spirit of God permeating that room because that dear family was shining the light of Jesus on a heartbreak. Not one bit of bitterness and not one bit of impatience with God, but God's light had shined upon the tough time as well as the bright time. Jesus is the light of the world, and that light comes and says, I want to shine at work. I want to shine at school. I want to shine in your courtship. I want to shine in your home. I want to shine in your pleasure. I want to shine in your suffering. Let me say this. We all have all of these areas. And you're not the only one in this house tonight that can't figure out why things have happened. You're not the only one. And I'm not either. But blessed be God, I've served God for these long many years and I just don't believe God makes any mistakes. And I'm just going to say, dear God, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. They do! And I'm going to say, come on, Jesus, and be with me when I'm suffering. Be with me when my heart's breaking. Be with me when I can't see my hand in front of my face. Be with me when the burden seems like it's going to bend me. And be with me when the victories come. And be with me in the high hours. And be with me in the dark hours. And be with me in the good times, in the bad times. And come with me everywhere I go. And that's what God is saying. Jesus Himself gave this verse. He said, I want you who are in the light. I don't want your light to become darkness. Let me shine in every area and crevice of your life. This is why you, by the way, follow me. Let me get a little practical. This is why you get sudden times of depression. Because you are not living a consistent, lightened life. And so what happens is this. You are in the light and things are well. But then you go into darkness and that darkness is terrible. And that's why you get depressed. Listen, you let Jesus come into every area of your life. And you let Him control every area of your life. And you let His light and His book shine on every area of your life. And I'll guarantee you, depression will not overcome you. But you go in and out and in and out. I'll tell you what. When the lights went out up there at that hotel, we got frantic. Everybody but me. But my great faith in God, I was scared to death. But we got frantic. Suddenly we were thrown in darkness. And folks said, what happened? What happened? Some folks looked at the door. They expected the devil to come in with a mask and the gun. Other folks looked to see where the fire was. The gal in the elevator with me took off like a scared rabbit. And we were frightened. Everything was white. Everything wasn't normal. That's what happened. Things weren't normal. Darkness suddenly came in place of light. And if you, listen, you're not going to let Jesus in a part of your life and let Him control a part of your life or some of the areas of your life and then walk in light and darkness and light and darkness and light and darkness. You're not going to do that without having depression and sadness and being melancholy. You don't have to be that way. Let Him come into every area of your life. God is simply saying, better to be in darkness all the time than light, darkness, light, darkness, light, darkness, because the darkness is darker and the light is blinding when you go in and out all the time. You go from church to business and school to business and pleasure to burdens and home to courtship and church to home. We have sometimes some problem in equating Christ with every area of our lives. Now I'm gonna be through in a minute. Listen here. Is there any area of your life to where having this book with you would be embarrassing to you? Let's have a little test here. Let's see how you're doing. Is there any area of your life where this book would be embarrassing for you to have? If I were you, I'd force myself to take it there the next time I go. Force myself. Ask a question. Is there any area of your life where you're bowing your head and praying would embarrass you? There's some men here tonight. You can pray at church, but you couldn't pray at home. It'd embarrass you to pray in front of your children. Why? It's out of place. You say grace when you're home, but you wouldn't ever dare say grace at work. What I'm saying is, God tells you that you're walking from light to darkness and you're being blinded in the light and extra dark in the darkness, and you're going to stumble. What's wrong? I just like to know, what's wrong with Jesus being invited everywhere? Yeah, I wish our basketball team would take their Bibles on the basketball court and read them for a few minutes and then stack them over in the corner and read them again at halftime. Well, you say that'd be very unusual. Yes, I know. But reading the Bible is always very unusual. If she won't pray with you, ditch her. And if he won't pray with you, quit him. Quit him. Quit him. I don't care if he's the football hero at a Christian school. Quit him! He won't pray with you. You say, Brother Howe, how am I going to get anybody? Did you ever hear of God? And I'd rather have nobody than worse than nobody. First place, you're supposed to marry a man. Keep looking till you find one. Well, he's not a man because he can lift 200 pounds of iron. The refrigerator can do that. Man's not a man because he can shoot a balloon through a basket. Man's not a man because he can kick a blown up pig, dead pig, across a pasture through some plumbing. You know, really, Isn't it dumb how worked up everybody is about a football game? I mean, a bunch of goons out there trying to kill each other. I mean, somebody killed a pig, sewed him back up, blew him up, and a guy bends over there and a fellow reaches between his legs and he hands the pig back to him. And then he drops the pig, and every goon there goes greased pig chasing. I mean, really? Yes, I mean, everybody's all worked up about it. Some of you folks right now can't wait till you get out to find out what happened. That's why I'm holding you. I mean, you're a man. Let me tell you what being a man is. Being a man is when you know something is right. It doesn't matter if hell freezes over. It doesn't matter if the air-conditioned Hades. And it doesn't matter if you're popular or unpopular. This is right! Right! When I find young men, one of our First Baptist Church boys, he's in college now. I came to see me this morning. He said, Brother Howes, I don't know whether he told me his name as if I didn't know who he was. Of course I knew who he was. Well, I said, son, of course I know who you are. I remember when you were 15 years of age, you came to my office and I told you to give up something for God. And it was the thing at that time you probably wanted more than you wanted anything in the whole world. And you bowed your head and you gave it up. I said, of course I remember that, son. And I said, of course, son, I remember that night when you played on the high school basketball team, I guess it was. I remember how that you had an appointment with me that night, a senior appointment with me. And I said, son, I remember how that you could have changed it and I wouldn't have been upset with you, but you missed the game just to spend 15 minutes with your preacher. Sure, I remember that. Oh, by the way, if I were young ladies about 18, 19, 20 years old, I'd come tonight begging for his address. Won't you find a man instead of some of these punks that think it's sissy to carry the Bible to church or to vandalize the church building or to talk back to a teacher? Find yourself a man! Oh, but you say, he's such a hunk of man. You wait on hunk shifts. And brother, it do shift. But you, brother, oh, I love that wavy hair. It waves goodbye. And it do that. Boy, character, honesty, integrity, courage, conviction. That don't fall out. It don't get flat either. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. Let Christ come into all of your life. Every area of your life. And say, dear Jesus, shine your light upon me. God is saying, and I'm through. God is saying, if you walk in light and suddenly your light becomes darkness, there's no darkness like that, and you are in more danger of doing something ridiculous and foolish than you would be had you never been in light at all. And God is saying, when you let Christ come in a part of your life and shine on a part of your life, and then some area or areas of your life, Christ has nothing to do with that, and you walk from light to darkness to light to darkness to light to darkness, you will never be comfortable. And you'll never have a clear vision of God's plan for your life. Because when you walk into light, it's from abrupt darkness. You can't see well. And then you walk into darkness from abrupt light, and you can't see at all. Ask a question. Is Christ in every area of your life tonight? Do you have any secrets from Him? Any places He cannot come? Any place this book is not welcome? Any place that you couldn't say a good word for Jesus? We used to have, you know, I had a small church in the country. We used to have a lot of testimonies because didn't have many people. We'd say, let's have testimonies. Now, church is small and everybody could hear it. Anybody could stand up and everybody could hear it. I'll never forget that guy. We had an old man in our church and he could generate more fake tears than anybody I've known in my life. I mean, he was a tear factory. Folks on the job, they told me they heard that man cuss like a sailor, which is, of course, the worst cussing done under the sun. But he'd come to church, and every time we'd have a testimony meeting, he'd stand up and say the same thing. Well, Pastor, we needed a bugle to blow for him before he testified. He'd say, I'm just always glad to say a good word from my Lord. Yeah, at church you are. Everybody there knows Him. But you get out on the job where nobody knows Him, you like the Arctic River, you're frozen at the mouth. You never say a good word for Him. How's your courtship tonight? Light or darkness? How do you live on the naval base? You guys get together on the naval base and say, amen. What do you say? Amen. And you go down to PX. Huh? You bow your head. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to go to the PX. That's a post exchange where you buy your stuff from the drugstore and combination country store. You go down there. I'm not saying you ought to bow your head and say, our great and omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of God and King of kings and Lord of lords, thou who will rule and reign in the millennium for 1,000 years after the tribulation for 7 years when Antichrist is revealed and plagues will be poured out upon the earth, and after which shall come the great white throne judgment when the dead and dead that are unsaved shall rise and the books shall be opened and another book is opened, the book of life, and those not drowned found it. I'm not saying do that to PX, but I'd rather do that than say, let's pray.
Oh, thank you for the food.
Any area of your life where Jesus does not shine? Any area of your life where prayer would be out of place? Where a good word for Jesus would make you feel uneasy and embarrassed? Let Jesus come into every area of your life. Sailor back there standing, boy, he's getting hot. Yeah. Yeah. Let him come into every area of your life. He says, if darkness is bad, but if your light be darkness,